You're listening to DraftKings Network.
And before we get to the show, we just want to tell you that support for today's Cooligans is brought to you by Manscaped.
That's
which,
right.
If you don't know, that's it's the best below the waist grooming, dude.
Correct. Yes, I'm very much aware. I've been a Manscaped customer for probably about like a year now.
Which is good, because I think people who've met you and seen how young your face looks assume you don't grow hair down there.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm here to, you know, to like tell, this is really a message to the doubters, okay? This isn't a Manscaped ad. This is
no.
Letting you know I grow hair down there, okay? If anybody was interested, and also stop sending me those messages for those requests, okay?
Right? We're not starting a weird OnlyFans, okay? I certainly do. I'm a very hairy person. And let me tell you something. I'm really happy about this because I have hurt myself pretty bad in the past trying to get rid of the hair down there, which I wouldn't even do if it wasn't for my wife saying, yo, could you do something about this?
Yeah, that's how your wife talks. She's like, yo, look, fam, I'm going to need you to kind of like trim the hedges a little bit, all right? Because it's becoming a problem.
All right, when you go to the bathroom, it looks like you be shaving a teddy bear. So I need you to do something about that. Long hair don't care. You should care, my G. But I have. I kept an old beard trimmer, you know? Mm. And that's what I was using. But it nicked me. It nicked me real bad. I screamed. And I didn't know what to put on it, so I put rubbing alcohol on it. That was a horrific mistake.
Wow. This feels like a kink more than anything. Yeah. I'm like, what? Everything you're doing seems to be the wrong decision, okay?
I've never pleasured myself better. No, it was horrific. But that's what I use. When I used to shave my face, I used to use rubbing alcohol. Or when I really buzz the beard, the hair on my neck or whatever, I'll use rubbing alcohol because it really closes up your pores. So I was like, well, I'll just use this. This is my aftershave. Let's just say it was a calamity. There was a lot of screaming. The neighbors called the cops. Yeah. It was a lot going on. But that doesn't happen anymore because now I got this Manscaped, which has this really cool sort of guard here that stops, you know, your skin from falling in. And it's got a light.
That's
so now
right.
You can see what's going on down there.
That's right. This is the lawnmower 3.0, and it's
the 3.0, baby.
Okay, it is really great, and it's usually we're not on this show we don't just talk about testicles and balls and whatever else you want to.
You
call
know
them.
We do.
but it's not the focus.
That's a good point.
This is we're dedicating time to make sure that our listeners, dudes who want to take care of themselves down there.
Or ladies, right?
Yeah,
you wanna shave your hoo-ha, you know, or you wanna buzz it down,
okay,
you know?
Yeah, yeah. But I never knew Alexis could reach that pitch. That was quite
only
high.
When I'm talking about that. But hey, it's COVID. Maybe you don't want to go to the salon or where the ladies,
Yeah, look, this is why we need Manscaped, because most men have no idea what goes on down there.
They don't know how
other people do it. They don't know how what we're supposed to do, but pick up, go to manscaped.com and pick up the lawnmower, right? So if you use the promo code gully21, you will receive 20% off and free shipping. And I highly recommend it. With the lawnmower in itself, you can use it in the shower. It has
it's waterproof.
It's waterproof. You can use it. It has a great LED light for precision, Because even
right.
If you are in a well-lit room, there's certain areas that you can't really see, okay?
Right. Unless you got weird lights on the floor of your bathroom. And then you a freak and you need this joint, you know what I mean?
Okay.
You need to be clean down there.
You're quite prepared. It's a great product. Manscaped also has a bunch of different, you can get like a care package that has like...
You get underwear, t-shirts, you can get ball deodorant.
Deodorant, okay.
Did you know that? Ladies, buy this for your manses.
Okay.
Did you know that your balls shouldn't smell?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Don't put it under in your armpits, okay?
No.
It goes in a different spot, okay?
I actually thought the smell was the appeal. Turns out it is not.
No. The whole pheromone thing has been debunked, okay? So
yeah.
Ignore it. But go to manscaped.com and make sure to use the promo code GULLY21 for 20% off and free shipping. It's a great, great product. And thank you, Manscaped, for supporting today's show.
Yeah, and also, hey, use it on your ass. Come on.
Okay, that's how we end it. Tonight on the Cooligans, the MLS schedule has been released. What does it mean? What does it mean for you? What does it mean for me? What does it mean for us? Also, DeAndre Yedlin dealing with some visa issues out in Newcastle. So we'll figure all of that out today.
That's right. Plus, we talked to Tom Boger over at MLSsoccer.com. He's an amazing writer. He's breaking all the news. He's fighting with other in the knows on Twitter. He's dropping all bombs. We talk a little bit about the MLS draft players. We talk a little bit about players heading over to Europe. And we try to solve whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. That and more today on the Cooligan!
What's up, guys? Landon Donovan here, and I got to kick it with the Cooligans today. Keep following, keep listening, keep watching. See you guys soon.
Yeah, baby! Mm.
Yes. Oh. Warms my heart.
We back, baby!
Yep, you know, just, you know, it's been 2 days since we've been on Fubo Sports Network, and it's, you know what? It's too long.
Where's the time gone?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
That's right. I'm Alexis Guerreros.
All right. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show that has ever existed on internet television.
It's television. It's on the internet. It's on your phone. It's on your iPad. It's on your computer. You might have it on too many places, to be completely honest with you. It's also the
gullies. We're actually on more places than simply just television. So
absolutely.
That's kinda nice.
Yo, if you're at a doctor's office, just switch the TV to us, baby. Come on.
Okay, yeah. Shut off whatever Fox News, you know, your doctor has on. We don't need to see all that.
We don't
Unless
need fake news.
Unless it's on Fubo TV, then it's all good.
You need people that don't even propose we give you the news. There's no facts in our show whatsoever.
Exactly. They don't have to give any clearances for like Tucker Carlson to this is all opinion. This is not only is this an opinion, it's the wrong opinion.
It's typically a bad opinion, you know.
This is the disclaimer that we do up top, but no. we're excited about today's show because we're going to be joined by Tom Boger, writer for MLSsoccer.com, to talk about some of the offseason transfer news and some of the other dealings that are going on in Major League Soccer. So
we also have another special guest. You might not even remember this. His thick ass mustache. Oh boy! I mean,
yes. We had there's a title card for Tom and his mustache. It requires a separate one.
His mustache has a separate IMDb account.
Why is my mustache more successful than I am? This is messed up.
You know, I can shave you whenever I want. This is disrespectful.
Yes, so Tom will be joining us in a bit. We have to start today with the breaking news of from Major League Soccer, which is that we know when the season is going to begin. We know when it's going to end.
Allegedly,
it is all chiseled in stone. Let's get going.
Because when MLS put this out, you know the MLS Players Association was like, I don't remember agreeing to none of this.
What's all this about? We're back together. You already updated your Facebook relationship status, and I don't even know anything about this.
Wait, was I supposed to delete Hinge? Because I didn't know we was back together. I thought we were on a break or something.
So look, MLS did announce that the season will be starting April 3rd and 4th, essentially 3rd or 4th, and preseason will begin February 22nd.
Again, you keep saying like it's actually going to be. This is the schedule they've put forward.
Yeah.
There's nothing approved. This reminds me of when I was engaged and I'm like, me and my wife were like, or my fiance at the time, we're like, hey, you know what? Let's just be engaged for a long time. And everyone agreed. We all agreed. Everything was fine. It was fine. And then one weekend she goes to some wedding conference, you know, one of those things where like 1,000 florists and 1,000 DJs and, a wedding expo. Thank you, producer. And with her mom. And that night at dinner, we were like, well, we're going to get my arm around. I'm like, we're going to be engaged for a long time. June 18th? This year? Damn.
Hey, that's in 2 weeks. What?
You already have my tux? What you? How'd you do this? That's what MLS just did. They're like, no, skirt. We picked a date. And I lost that arbitration. I want y'all to know.
Ooh, okay. Yeah.
I hired the wrong lawyers.
But look, the I think the when you look at some of these key dates, I think the confidence of like, yo, this is when the season's starting. This is when it's all happening. And then all the clubs are like, this is when the season's starting. And then a lot of the players are like, I'm so excited to be back. And I'm like, all right, well, and MLSPA, the Twitter is just radio silence, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hasn't said a thing. So look, hopefully this is suggest that the negotiation, I'm being optimistic. I'm saying that hopefully that this suggests that the negotiations are going in a positive direction.
Okay, well, let me offer a counterpoint to your optimism, because what I think is this is a great negotiation tactic. Way to really crumble the other side's ability to have any leverage in the negotiations when they start to see the entirety of MLS Twitter be really excited for the season to start. This is going to save our last year. What a horrible year. Yada, yeah. Yada, yada. That's going to make it a little bit tough to feel like they lost the sort of will of the people, which typically can push you forward in negotiation if you're ever like in some type of arbitration. So I think it's a great tactic. You seem to think it's a signal that things are looking good. I think it's a signal that we've pulled the lever on some of the tough tough games here.
Well, there was a note in it as well saying that MLS is still trying to negotiate with players and still asking for those extra 2 years in the CBA. So it seems like not much has changed except the fact that we have the schedule, this possible schedule, and well, hopefully it works out. But the key dates that I kind of wanted to mention are really just the confidence of saying there will be an All-Star game, there will be a Leagues Cup, there will be a Campeones Cup. So it's still, you know, full steam ahead.
The plan is to get as big as we were in 2019, if not bigger.
Yeah. Exactly. And then knowing, you know, MLS Cup will be December 11th and the playoffs are starting November 19th, it at least instills some confidence in the soccer fan in America that, like, all right, maybe I'll be going to games at some point.
Say the league is back, right? By December 11th, the league is back. The world is off to a better place. Mm-hmm. COVID is subsided and we're able to go back to games. Come on, warm city teams for MLS Cup. Come on.
Yeah, we go back to, you know, the simpler kind of requests and pleasures that we had before.
We love you, Toronto. Stay out of it.
You are done with this. With
Chris Armas, take your time. Take your time, Chris Armas.
I'm excited to, you know, if we can go to games again. And I'm watching the press secretary. Now I'm watching like, yo, okay, I need to know every detail. When is the vaccine going to be available in my zip code and all these other things? Because I'm trying to renew my MLS season tickets, okay?
You know, I'm the phone with the season ticket holder. Like, look, I don't know if I should renew because I haven't got my vaccine yet. What could you do for me? You know? Can you buy vaccine with Tam? You know what I mean? Just thinking about all these games that are happening in Europe, I'm like, man, these Americans are doing so well. Wait a minute. Newcastle's on, but I can't seem to find DeAndre Yedlin.
Oh,
where is he?
Is he benched as usual? Oh, no. No.
clerical error.
It's a different issue. No, you know what? To DeAndre Yedlin's credit, he has been getting more playing time. He's, he won his starting spot, it seemed like, over, you know, the last couple of weeks. And now there is news that it wasn't really explained why he wasn't available. And then Steve Bruce said there was a visa issue.
Keith Downey on the 23rd, which was 3 days ago, broke the news. Understand DeAndre Yedlin. This was a tweet from @SkySports_Keith, who is works for Sky Sports in the Northeast, where Newcastle is. Understand DeAndre Yedlin's recent work permit hasn't arrived and his previous one expired. That's why the American wasn't involved tonight. This was the last match. Steve Bruce confirmed the player had a visa issue after tonight's match. How? How?
Yeah,
that's someone's job.
Yeah, I mean, obviously this shouldn't happen, right? But so because he doesn't have a work permit, it's not simply that he cannot play, he can't train, he can't work in the country. So they're very serious issues, and to the point where if it's a severe issue where like they didn't file to renew, he can't even stay in the country, right? So that's it's a very common like immigration and serious issue that a Premier League team shouldn't really be facing with a guy that they're paying a couple mil a season. Okay.
Yeah, I would honestly say this is sabotage. Okay, and I think it's whoever spot he took was slipped a little bit of money to the clerk who handles this.
Some
and
quid,
was like, yo.
Some quid, Alexis, as they say.
Yeah, sorry, my bad. Some pence, if you will. You know,
Mike
hand
Pence?
It to him.
What?
No, anyway. Please, God, no. we're done with him. Get this dude off me. He's asking for mother. He slipped him a little bit of money and was like, yo, let's just say that work visa never shows up. I don't know. It would be a real shame. I get my spot back. You get to keep this money, maybe double it, you know?
Well, a couple things happened recently, right, where obviously he wasn't playing much. He has 6 months left to his contract. He's probably not coming back to Newcastle.
Yeah, there's like open rumors. Like, I think he was even on the internet talking about how to get his – he has a Hellcat. Yeah, I think he has the only Hellcat in the UK, if I'm not mistaken. He's trying to figure out how to get that back to the US, which is like – your favorite car? What a sign. That's like walking past your wife going like, yeah, I just need a one bedroom, you know? You might be announcing something without trying.
But the fact that just a couple days ago he was on CBS Sports and he also was talking about being frustrated with like lack of playing time. So all this coming out at once does feel a little bit like they're like making an example out of him. Because if a player that's at the end of their contract is already looking to go on to another team, there are rumors that he's going to come back to MLS. He can go to another Premier League team. Maybe he can go
rumors
to the championship.
There's rumors of Turkey.
Yeah. Also, all of these things. But when you're in this situation, if he can't play in these last 6 months, it's you're not in a great position to negotiate because you can't be like, yo, I'm flexing out here. Look how great I'm playing. Newcastle doesn't get me. But
right.
Maybe, you know, if I could find just the right club, you know, it could really just unlock something beautiful between us.
We need to invent a hinge for soccer players and clubs to swipe right on each other.
Okay. It can't just be the agents being like the intermediaries.
Why they get all the fun, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
We'll only take 5%
of your love.
Yeah. As long as it works out, you know, we don't want to be there when it doesn't. But I think if anything, this is even if it's a sign that, you know, it's just a sign that, yo, you're not with the right club. If they can't even figure out your work visa correctly.
Yeah.
Move on. Go to a club that at the very least, you know, follows up on an email, you know.
It does seem like a pretty simple issue. So I don't know. I hope DeAndre Yedlin is still a good player. It's just like when you watch him in play for Newcastle, he is. I said, there's something about him not fitting with the team as well as I haven't really seen. Obviously, he was better in the championship. He played a lot more. But in the Premier League with Newcastle, he's just like not. He can't really connect passes too well. Like, there's just. I mean, also, the team is bad. Let's not be crazy.
That's the biggest issue is the team is bad. I mean, right now, people are saying Miguel Amirón isn't that great of a player. It's like, no, if you're playing for a Steve Bruce team, you're not going to look good unless you're someone like Andy Carroll. Who's just like send it to the old forehead? You know what I mean?
They did lose. Look, as when recording, they did lose today against Leeds, and it was great because Miguel Amirón scored and Jack Harrison scored in that game. But it's Newcastle, right? They're gonna be Newcastle per usual. So I want to talk about the U.S. men's national team. They have a friendly coming up against Trinidad and Tobago, and we know the roster. We know who's gonna be there. It's,
going back to the scene of the crime. You know what I mean?
Okay. There's been a lot of interesting things, I think, in this match against Trinidad, because a lot of people are remembering what happened in Cuba and, and the U.S.
And where? In Cuba?
and what happened and missing out on the World Cup in 2018. But the, people are remembering, like, when, who they were mad at, right? The Josie Altidores, the Michael Bradleys, and there was a tweet that was going around again from Donald Wine, who's American Outlaws. One of the head of the chapters there, and he had mentioned how Josie was the only one who that came up to the crowd and apologized for missing out for the result. I mean, just missing out on the World Cup. But so that's a whole other thing. But I did want to talk a little bit about the roster itself, all domestic players this time around.
It looks like a fun squad. I want to see some of these guys get a chance to play for the national team. In particular, I'm looking at George Bello, who, if you remember, started with so much hype over in Atlanta. It seems like he kind of took a bit of a step back.
Well, I mean, Atlanta United took a step back.
I mean, and that's the point I was making was, you know, yeah, I mean, it might not be his fault, you know. Is Steve Bruce managing Atlanta United? Sam Vines, who I don't really, you know, off the top of my head, don't really remember too much.
Sam Vines is...
for Colorado.
Colorado, okay.
The PIDs.
Yeah.
But, you know, we do have some. There's 10 caps. So you got Sebastian Letchett in there. You've got Josie Altidore, who's back. Paul Ariola. Jonathan Lewis, I'm excited to see get a chance. Cash Money Mueller. Daryl Dimelo Dike is going to be out there with the hookah.
It's just great to have Dominican representation in Major League Soccer. I really love
to see
it.
No one even ask him. Just take it, yo. Dykeman is here, baby. Let's go.
But no, I'm excited. The goalkeepers, Matt Turner, friend of the show, will most likely be the number one here. Matt Fries for the Philadelphia Union getting an opportunity. But Matt Turner, I it's looking like it's a real possibility that he will be the number one. I don't know. After his playoff run and the regular season in 2020, there's a lot of there's a case to be made that Matt Turner might, you know, could be or should be the number one goalkeeper for the men's national team.
Well, if this wasn't a January camp and this was a full camp, the competition between him and Zach Steffen would be wild. Because
I think
Matt Turner is an incredible goalkeeper. Not free of mistakes. You know, he does make his fair share of, you know, he's a little bit of an aggressive goalkeeper. He's admitted it himself. But you've got Zach Steffen, who just maybe isn't getting as much play time. So between the two of them, I mean, it is kind of a toss-up. If you say you want to go with Matt Turner because he starts more, I can't really argue against that.
It's two good choices. You know, and also, you know, Sean Johnson is in there as well. And I could see an argument there, you know, being made. You know, he was the leading, he had the most saves in MLS, you know, we spoke to him about it. And whether that's a good thing or bad thing, he did make the saves.
And he does have the voice of a villain. So, you know, put fear in the opponents.
You know, strikers usually don't have as deep a voice as defenders. You know how it is. So he can put some fear into them.
We got Tom Boger when we get back right after this. Hey everybody, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We just want to bring up with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you.
That's right, Gully Squad. The last during quarantine, Gully Squad has not only become a dope soccer community, but it's becoming a vital space for my emotional well-being.
Okay? Yes, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have anyone to talk to a lot of the time. And also, I would not know what an apple crisp is.
Okay, yeah, we are. There's so much communication and sharing of food. I don't really dwell in that channel too much.
No, you're not allowed to. Your girl can see it on your face that you're looking at food.
She goes through my phone not to look for like texts from other girls. She's like
booty pick, booty pick, booty pick sandwich.
Sam, what is this? How dare you betray me like this?
She's messaging me, homewrecker.
Gully Squad is obviously the Cooligans community of people that are fans of soccer, fans of comedy, fans of food, fans of pizza. It's an opportunity to help support the content that we put out, help us put out more content that we can deliver to the masses, and also get some exclusive content for yourself. So there's a bunch of really cool things going on in there. We have an amazing Slack channel that may or may not exist. Who knows?
Hey, even though we just talked about it.
Exactly, but you know, it's vague. It's very vague. So you can join at any any level, you can join. You can give like $5, $10. You can give more. If you give more, there's more perks involved, like you know, merch and a pin and stickers and different things like that. So it's, if you're a fan of soccer, if you're a fan of comedy, we highly recommend you joining, and it definitely helps the show grow, so we can do a bunch of other fun things. You know, in 2021, when we can finally travel, we can be able to go do live shows and do live events and do a lot of other things like that. So
plus you get some really exclusive stuff, like when we release the pins, you get a pin for joining.
That's right.
When we release the pop socket, you got a pop socket for joining, stuff like that. So there's a lot of really good exclusive stuff. It's not just being a part of the you know, Slack channel that may or may not exist, but trust me, that's a dope part of it.
Very much so. So go to soccercooligans.com and click on the Join Gully Squad button now.
All right, baby, and we're back on the Cooligans Living Room FC, and finally, our guest is here, Christian.
Let's go. Yes, this is a dude who's been working at MLS for a while, and on MLSsoccer.com, who I played soccer with at Street FC. Okay, the dude can ball. Okay, so I've already,
you would not, you know, expected seeing him. He looks like he looks like he's really hoping to land a role of the detective. You know,
I'm like, okay, Tom Selleck got game. Right.
You didn't know his middle name was Bo. But now he here. This dude, I mean, when he started getting a bit more of a leading writing role, let's say, for MLSsoccer.com, we were like, yo, we know this dude is going to be great. We had no idea. He had just been collecting sources and I guess getting, you know, photos of owners and GMs in compromising positions to hold over the head, because he has been breaking news left and right.
Do we got Deep Throat on the show? What's going on?
Okay. You know, MLS gate is going to get broken open because of this dude. Absolutely amazing. He's fighting Fabrizio Romano on the internet. Put your hands together. Let's try for the one, the only Tom Bogert, everybody.
Tom, what's up?
What's going on, fellas? That's too kind. A couple notes quick right off the bat. Tom Selleck, no, pick up Sasha Kljestan. That's what I like to go for. That's my vibe, both by mentality and by looks. So that's what I go for. And it's not compromising pictures. It's the fact that I look like such a clown with a mustache that people let their guards down around me because they're like, oh, this guy's just a clown. So I'll sell him whatever. Who cares?
Buddy, yeah, it's worked for me forever. She said yes. She said I do.
Look, I'm not at the level where I can when if I try to grow a mustache, I've said this all the time. People think like I am either I have some sort of condition or I'm trying too hard. I'm like, am I trying to impress somebody at prom?
When Christian grows a mustache, it looks like three kids in a trench coat trying to get into a movie.
I'm curious now, how long have you, because to my knowledge, as long as I've known you, you've kind of had a mustache, or is it a quarantine thing?
It's been on and off. That's the thing. So, you could say, oh, it was just a quarantine thing. And then I was like, oh, you know, I'm just doing this for these couple weeks. It's funny. It's ironic. But, like, it's slow. More slowly, the realization has come that it's not a bit anymore, I guess. Like, I need to start just accepting the fact that this is part of me rather than, oh, I'm just doing it for a couple months, because you can always lay out an excuse like, oh, it was just for quarantine. Oh, it was just, why not? Oh, it was just, I thought it'd be funny. And, like, no, this is...
This is who I am now.
It doesn't normally mustaches sometimes will come in and look creepy. Yours doesn't look creepy at all. It fits your face, man. You look like you've lived in Chicago for 55 years. You're a huge fan of the Bears. You know?
That was the weird part. It looked normal. And like, I remember looking in the mirror one day when I thought that it was just funny and like my friends were laughing about it. And I was like, oh my God, like this actually looks halfway normal. Like, am I a mustache guy now? And yeah. I'm a mustache guy now.
It's like you put on glasses as a joke, but it fits your face perfectly. You're like, I guess I got to be this person now.
Oh, I got to do math and say smart things. Ugh.
Yeah, just thank God you don't look good in a fedora, because that would be a cross too heavy to bear.
Maybe that'll be next.
You're from, you're a Jersey guy, right?
Yeah, man. Down the beach. I'm from Wall, the Belmar, Asbury area. I rep that really heavy, as you guys always see me in Asbury Park FC gear and me and Alexis going back and forth on Twitter about Jersey things.
And that's why I'm afraid to ask, because I think I know the answer, but is it pork roll or is it Taylor Ham?
You do know the answer, and I know that the way that you teed that up is you knew that I was going to say pork roll, and you're going to try to yell at me. But New Jersey Secretary of Defense, the United States Secretary of Defense, Brunswick native Tim Howard is on the record in an interview with me saying it's pork roll, so I'm just putting it out there.
It just hurts that you and Tim Howard have fallen as heroes today.
What a shame. What a shame. So look, now that we've gotten, the New Jersey formalities out of the way.
All right, thanks for having me, guys. I'm out.
Yeah. No, we cut your mic about 2 minutes ago.
obviously, you write for a couple outlets, but obviously MLSsoccer.com is the one that, especially during the off season. I'm sure there's a lot going on. And it's been... before we talk about the specifics of transfers, I want to talk about stepping into this role of like the guy who knows or gets sources or figures out. You know, we have the Adam Schefters, we have the Wojes of you know, in other sports, right? Stepping into this role, what does it take to be good at this, to be able to figure out what and get information that everybody wants?
A lot of annoying, a lot of running through no's, a lot of, you know, building trust and obviously doing these interviews, taking the time, saying, you know, clearly showing that you're prepared and that, you know, you care and that you, one, won't, you know, run just anything that anybody says. So people know that, okay, like, he's not just going to spin it some way or whatever, but you just... Look, you just keep asking questions, you keep building trust, you try to find the really tight rope of doing your job but not being annoying to the point where, like, people just start blocking it and losing your number, which, you know, it'll happen a couple times here and there. So, yeah, it's a lot of tightrope walking. It's a lot of, like, knocking on the door, like the John Mulaney joke. Like, the way I knock is I say I'm sorry. Like, it's a lot of, hey, I'm sorry for reaching out, I'm sorry for annoying you, but I think I have to. Like, all right, fair enough. And then you just kind of, you know, knock that down one by one.
How'd you get the job? Did you just, like, walk into Don Garber's office and be like, you had quinoa for breakfast? And he's like, God, he knows everything.
Actually, like, I was doing the freelance grind. That's where a lot of the places, like, in my Twitter bio are from. Just grinding and pitching places. And I finally got the editor-in-chief's email from MLSsoccer.com, who's no longer there at the site, unfortunately, but he's the dude who gave me the chance. I can't say thanks enough to him, but I emailed him. I was like, hey, Simon, like these, I had a couple of these ideas and here are a couple writing samples. Let me know what you think and let me know. He answers the next day and goes, hey, Tom, you know, thanks for the email. I really appreciate it. No, we don't want any of those ideas. Thank you though. But, well, actually, like we like a couple of your clips. Like, do you want to come in and maybe talk about something? So it went from, yeah, your ideas suck, but maybe we can work with something here. And again, Simon Borg brought me in and I owe him everything.
Yeah, they break you down to build you back up, huh?
You would be nothing without me, you know?
Break them like a horse, you know?
No, I mean, but shout out to Simon Bork, who also we've met and has just been really supportive of what we've done as well. So,
who also gave me an opportunity to write for the website, and they were like, this was a mistake. Wow. Really,
the spelling is what we have a problem with.
Do the punctuation buttons on your keyboard just not work?
You try to write this in emojis? Yeah.
Did you do this in talk to text?
So, are there any what has this offseason been like for you as far as, like, I mean, we know Brian Reynolds has been one of the big names rumored to be going over to Europe, but are there any
Jordan Morris seems to be put you on a map in Europe.
Like, are there any particular moments this offseason that have stood out for you or been more unexpected or at least a little bit surprising?
Yeah, I think it all starts and ends with Brian Reynolds. Like, I was obviously chasing that one for months. And when I first heard of Juventus being interested, that was the first team to kind of make the news. And this was like around Thanksgiving. And like, I was talking to people, I was like, this can't be true, right? Or like, they're interest, but they're not trying to buy him right now. Like, they're tracking him or whatever. And like, it was like, I don't know. Like, we don't know how serious they are. We don't really believe it either. And then all of a sudden, bang, it's like Juventus, Roma, Bruges, AC Milan, Inter Milan, insert all these teams here. And oh, by the way, because of England's work permit issues and the hurdles there, that's probably the biggest reason why there were no, like, English clubs seriously interested in the race, because it would have been probably impossible to get him a work permit, or I don't know the minutia that goes on there, but it was just insane to me. This kid, he had one MLS start before Reggie Cannon got sold to Boavista. One. And he made a 14 this year, and it went from, oh, this guy's a rising town, he's pretty good, to, oh my God, everybody wants the, you know, Alfonso Davies came from MLS. I don't want to make a comparison and be lazy, but everybody wants the next Alfonso Davies. And it went from, oh, this kid's got some potential, he looks pretty good, to, oh my God, we need him right now.
It's amazing to me that everyone just all of a sudden jumped, and we were like, yeah, yeah, we knew this all along. Who is he again? What team's he play for? It seemed out of nowhere. Is it people rushing to hopefully get a good deal? Or is there something that we as casual fans just haven't seen that he's like, is it like a combine thing where he hit a certain number? Like, what is it that is attracting so many teams to this player?
It's a little bit of both. Your point to there about like combine numbers or whatever, like their internal, physical metrics and however it's defined by clubs, they've identified him as like a really special, like athletic talent on top of, you know, his quality. And the idea is that there's just a ton of potential there to grow. He's just 6'3" and he can really play a good cross on top of, you know, his, you know, athletic abilities. And he's learning the position. He only switched there from a winger, I don't know, about a year and a half ago. And he leaned on Reggie Cannon a lot. And then they were like, okay, like Cannon's gone now. Now you're our right back. And now all of a sudden, all these clubs, and I started to hit back at like, is up, like, as I reported, it's going to be around $8.5 million up front to Roma with incentives for $11 million. And at first I was hitting back on the notion of like, is that actually like a cheap deal? Like, that's really good money for Dallas. And it's not like they're getting them for $2 or $3 million. But the idea is if he goes, like, look at Alfonso Davies, like that's going to be up to, I forget what the final number would be, something like 20-ish million. That's going to be a bargain. It's already a bargain. If Bayern had to sell him tomorrow, he'd be, I don't know, $75 million. Yeah. So the fact that the rising prices is if Reynolds gets to Roma and hits the ground running or even shows like sparkles, then, you know, $11 million is going to be the absolute floor for him. And it's just going to be a rise from there.
We were talking about Brian Reynolds. You had made a point earlier about England and Brexit and how it's affecting players being able to play in that country. And it is an interesting thing, right? Like, you know, we were talking about, we saw Weston McKennie is a great example. It seems like, you know, there was a possibility of going to England. But it seems like it would be almost a difficult sort of landscape now for an American player to go play. It seems like now, ever since the dominoes are falling for CONCACAF players or MLS players, right? After Alfonso Davies has that a great showing, now it seems like Serie A looks like a real place where American players can actually go and thrive. And Weston McKennie has kind of pretty much planted that flag and saying now, and look at the example of, you know, going back to FC Dallas, the academy and that system. So what does it look like as far as, how is Brexit really affecting like the possibility of more MLS players going to other countries besides England?
So with Italy, and again, just yet another facet of why this Brian Reynolds deal is so crazy and so interesting and so surprising is that Italian clubs only get to sign 2 non-European Union players per season. And Rome is using one of their 2 spots on Reynolds. And part of the reason why the whole Juventus deal was so complicated, it would have had to be technically bought by Benevento first because they had the open spot. And then Juve would have given them the money to give to Dallas. And then they would have bought him from Benevento in the summer when he wouldn't have counted as a non-EU player because he was in Italy first. And the way around that rule is another club has to buy him. And then you buy him from that club or whatever. It's, you know, just standard doing business in Italy and stuff as there's been some plenty of scandal over there, Serie A with rules. And you can bend him around a little bit.
That kind of reminds me of that. What was it? My Blue Heaven, where he was like, I'd like a double scotch. And the lady on the flight attendant's like, well, you're only allowed to buy one. He goes, okay, well, then I'll take 2 scotches and you could put one on his table. That's how Juventus is like, oh, no. This office happens to be Benevento's headquarters. So come on in.
Yeah, it's wild that if the rules are that easy to get around, what it used to be, before they tried to, you know, stringent it up and make it more difficult for these teams to do it, they used to buy the non-EU spots from, like, a Serie B team and say, hey, Crotone, you're not buying anybody from South America. Let us buy one of your spots. And then they go, here you go. So, but yeah. Anyway, like...
Who knew Serie A had TAM?
Yeah, trading international roster spots.
Yeah. Different TAM. Yeah,
I can't wait for the draft.
Yeah, that, Juventus would have drafted him from Benevento. In England, it's changing at least. The biggest news with Brexit is just it makes it more difficult for EU players to get it into England. So it wasn't easy at first for other players around the globe, you know, obviously particularly Americans in their talk, but it was a little bit like that with South American players. And, you know, they're still finalizing rules or they're still being interpreted. But as far as I understand it, I think that Brexit is going to make it slightly easier for some of these players, and particularly South America, more so than North America, because there's ways to get work permit applications with, like, rising talent, exciting talent, and why they should get a work permit, because they would improve the quality of the league or the, you know, whatever. So when it comes to Americans and obviously Canadians and Mexicans, it's about being a current international. And as long as you're, you know, Paul Ariel and Jordan Morris have no problem getting a work permit because they're regulars for the U.S. national team. They played in, I forget the exact formula. I think it's
like 75%, right?
Is that right? Oof, I didn't even know it was that high. But regardless, those two dudes qualify for that, even with Ariel's recent injury and you know, a couple of these European-based camps where they were just using European players. But yeah, so it's fine as long as you're a national team player. And, you know, the Athletic did some fascinating reporting on the way that Norwich got Sebastian Soto a work permit because they finessed that formula, and Sebastian Soto was included in a domestic-based U.S. national team camp. So it was weird to see just only MLS players or youth players from, like, European clubs. And then Sebastian Soto, who's starting in the second division in the Netherlands on loan, and they got him to get to the United States camp. And because he played in that specific friendly, he qualified for an automatic work permit. And now he's back at Norwich because they recalled him from his loan because he got the work permit. And, like, it's just crazy. Like,
but there must be the coach from the loan team is calling the parent team. And it's like, all right, give him 6 minutes in this game.
Yeah. Every one of these, it's the plot of Ocean's 14, you know,
in a boardroom. And if I'm the on loan coach, I might've missed that call. Sebastian Soto was, like, their best player. He was scoring at will. And, like, what do you mean? We have to lose him because he's going to go to the national team. And if he plays, then we lose him for good. What the hell, man?
Yeah. How much money are you going to give me on this? I actually got an idea to solve this whole issue, right? Like, if you look at what Irish, a lot of my friends that I made in Ireland have all told me, like, there's, like, an underground system where, like, you get 20K if you can help, like, an American gets 20K if you marry an Irish person so that they can get in the country. Why don't we get a bunch of old English grandmas to adopt American players, right? Now all of a sudden you get a dual citizen. What are you talking about? Hey, my grandmother from Stoke?
You know? You couldn't be giving these ideas away for free. You got to be pitching people. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You just broke the code.
Dude, come on. We can make a bunch of money. Come on. We'll call it the Bogart system just to get the heat off of me.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm the upfront. You're the one who's making the money, and then I'm the one who's getting calls from the police.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering also, from your perspective, does it make your job a little bit easier? Do you get more responses from people when you're talking to either agents or teams? Because so many Americans are doing well in Europe. Like, I mean, watching Weston McKennie week after week, especially do so well in Serie A, does it feel like, because this must be an issue with anybody who works in MLS, where people look down on the league in general around the world, and they have to deal with that kind of, like, dismissal or disrespect. But I feel like your inbox is getting a few more responses nowadays.
It's probably the WhatsApp, you know?
Yeah, no, and it's, you can see it empirically. Like, the fact that the Philadelphia Union were able to sell Brendan Aaronson and Mark McKenzie for a combined 13 million ish up front with incentives, that's going to take that number much higher. Like, and partly depending on, you know, the sell on clauses, they might trade up double that number. The fact that they did that, they hadn't sold a single academy product abroad yet. I think that they only had one transfer fee received in the history of the Philadelphia Union. And all of a sudden it's like, hey, like, here's a track record. You've seen what some of the Dallas kids have done. You've seen, you know, Pulisic, McKennie. And you, if you think you can come in here and buy Mark McKenzie for $2 million because we haven't proved it, or you know, you're dubious of the American, you know, system and the talent we produce. No. Look at those guys. We're not selling for anything less than X. And even during a pandemic, they were able to get such a great deal and such great deals rather. And just that just shows how it's like empirically, you can see how the perceptions are changing and teams that are smart enough are going, okay, this is still an undertapped market. This is still something where, we can't steal somebody for $500,000 or $1 million, but even at $6-7 million, Mark McKenzie is going to be absolutely worth it, and we're going to make more money down the line.
Yeah,
wow.
And I mean, both those guys got their debuts over the weekend as well. Yeah. And look pretty good doing it.
When you look at sort of the last few transfers that has happened, it seems like all these young players are getting all these big opportunities in big clubs, and a previous young player who got a big opportunity at a big club and didn't take it and stayed with MLS, Jordan Morris, now probably at the peak of his career, right? Had an amazing year last year. He's taken the chance to go on loan to a second division club. And I think it took a lot of people by surprise. What are your thoughts on Jordan Morris moving to Swansea? Why was this the place he went? Why was this the move? And how do you think it's going to work out? Is this just a chance to maybe dip his toe in Europe and he does plan to come back after the 6 months, or do you see something bigger after this?
So, yeah, I was pretty surprised at that too. You know, there had been a lot of talk this over the past, I don't know, 6 months about maybe Jordan Morris should go to Europe, maybe he should go to Europe. And I figured that it wasn't going to happen unless it was going to be, you know, a mid-table Bundesliga team or like a Europa League caliber French team or, you know, insert anything like that. Like when the rumors, like I broke a report where Preston North End near the bottom of the championship table called Seattle and just said, hey, how much would it cost for Jordan Morris? And they were like, not anywhere near your budget. They're like, okay, thank you. And I was like, I thought that was a stupid phone call because what does he have to prove in the championship right now?
Yeah.
So my first take on, I guess, the Swansea stuff, I was like, this is a little weird. Why would he do that? But, you know, the more I think about it, it makes more sense. Swansea are, I think before the weekend, at least, they were second in the championship. So a lot can change. But if they were to hold that, they'd get promoted to the Premier League. And I think my understanding of it is that purchase option doesn't get picked up unless that they're promoted. And the other side of that is even if they're not and he does well, I think that a promoted club or, you know, a relegation threatened Premier League team would pull the trigger on it rather than him just coming back after 6 months. But I think that part is good because if he goes over and it's kind of like a 6 month show me deal where if he does well in the championship and he's going to get picked up by, you know, a top division club somewhere. So, you know, I've talked myself into it more and more, and they play 3-5-2 from what I've been told. I'm not going to sit here and lie that I've been watching a ton of Swansea action this year. And so he'd kind of fit in like a second forward type of role. So I think it'll be interesting to see him in a new role. And Paul Areola has been reported with them, and I was able to confirm that. Doug McIntyre of Yahoo broke that. And they are in talks with DC United about potentially grabbing Paul Areola in addition to Jordan Morris, which would be a lot of fun because this would, you know, make a team I think that some Americans would be paying a lot of attention to just because they grabbed a couple national teams, a couple MLS guys. And the interesting wrinkle on that one is that DC United co-owner Jason Levien is also the co-owner of Swansea City. So maybe that should help, you know, a deal get through some way where people have been joking, you know, who does he negotiate by himself or how does that one work? But
just move money from one pocket to the other. Yeah. You know?
I would like to buy my own pair of shoes from myself.
You know what I did like about that? Well, the one thing I didn't like, I watched Swansea FA Cup this weekend and I'm like, damn you for making me watch Swansea in the championship, the championship team. But the announcement of Jordan Morris, it was a cool thing because there's something happening now where we're seeing, you know, MLS players go to European clubs and the fans in, you know, under this, the announcement of the tweet, they're like, oh yeah, I've heard about this guy, or Sounders fans are like, yo, you guys are gonna love him and all this, and everybody's like, what is all this positivity coming out of England?
Let's not jump the
Wales,
gun though. Let's not go crazy because remember when Breck Shea got purchased by Stoke, all the Stoke fans were chanting USA, USA, And where did that go? You know, so let's not all jump the gun just yet.
Okay, but I think Jordan Morris is going to do well there for sure. I don't imagine, like, when you look at, like, you mentioned, like, you know, that he could have, he maybe the possibility of going to Bundesliga. And when you think of the forwards, the American forwards that are there, Josh Sargent, Matthew Hoppe, you're like, he's better than them. Right, so I can imagine him in the championship should be able to thrive a little bit. And also, Swansea are pretty good. That's obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that he's going to do well, and obviously it is weird to be optimistic and positive. I don't, it feels weird. Like, what is this feeling?
It's a new day, okay? This Americans are hot right now, okay? I know we're dealing with insurrections and all this other stuff.
Post-election, there's a new feeling.
You know? Soccer players, the soccer ring is pretty good, okay? I think there is a fair reason to be optimistic, especially, I mean, and not even just from a quality perspective, but from a business perspective, Christian Pulisic going to Chelsea, being sold for so much money, and this is how we're at the point where teams don't want to be left out. You know, it's the gold rush. I know, and there seems to be some of these great deals if we just go in and and steal the land,
right? And fans are upset. They're like, oh, they're only being bought for marketing. Well, come get these marketing pieces, baby.
that was my favorite argument about Pulisic. It was like, yeah, Chelsea are just buying a player for this much money from marketing. How many jerseys would they need to sell for that to turn out as a profit? Yeah, like, are you kidding
break
me?
Even.
You know how much he's making it as a contract on top of the transfer fee? How many jerseys would they need to make, let alone sell?
Yeah, exactly.
And speaking of Chelsea, because we spoke about this earlier, but obviously Lampard being sacked, what do you think the future for Christian Pulisic is at Chelsea? I know Thomas Tuchel is going to be in there. Already some familiarity. But how do you think this affects his game?
Positive, hopefully, because they work together at Dortmund, so that's always a good sign. Hopefully he'll just play him in his best position at left wing and just actually let him play. And you know, if the teams, like, they were a little gummed up when it came to the attack, it was, like, frustrating to watch. It was all stop-start. Nothing was, like, really clicking. Yeah. Kai Havertz wasn't doing well. Frank Lampard's young prince, Mason Mount, was doing well. I think he's the biggest loser, unfortunately, in all of this. just losing Lampard and the belief that came from there. But I don't know. I just – it has to be positive. You know, Pulisic is – passing the eye test, he was doing this stuff in moments, but it just kind of, like, for the rest of the Chelsea squad, it really just wasn't coming off under Lampard. And selfishly, my first thought, because we all, you know, read things and think about how would this affect me, as a Liverpool fan, it makes me scared for what happens if one day, as we all hope, that Steven Gerrard comes and takes over and succeeds Jurgen Klopp whenever Jurgen Klopp decides to leave. If this happens to him, could you imagine if you know, your club legend came back to your club as a hero to manage and then... Yeah, he didn't do so well for the last 2 months. Like, get him the hell out of here. Like, oh, like, that'd be tough. So tough to kind of digest.
Well, look, as an Everton fan, I really think Steven Gerrard is going to slip up as manager of Liverpool.
Come on, you're better than that. That's a low-hanging fruit. You're better than that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we are not better than that, Tom.
What do you think this is?
Lower your expectations.
All right, we did it again. Thank you so much, Tom Boger of MLSsoccer.com of Extra Time. As well, thank you so much for joining us, Tom. Is there anything you want to let people know about before we let you go?
Yeah, thanks again for having me, and again, congratulations to you guys on booking your least interesting guest. It's a real honor and it's a real privilege.
That's not true. We've had Andrew Wiebe on the show.
As long as you don't go any lower than me, so I can still hold on to this. I like having you the most or least in something. You got it's less fun than being in the middle. But yeah, just on Twitter at Tom Bogert, all that good stuff.
Okay, yeah, make sure you check out his work on MLSsoccer.com. Yeah, like I mentioned, he always makes regular appearances on Extra Time as well. So everybody, thank you so much for joining us. Make sure you follow at Soccer Cooligans on all social media platforms. Follow at Fubo Sports as well, and subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for full episodes of the program. All right, Thomas, let us end the show the way we normally do. Your legal name might just be Tom. I'm sorry. If I do
it's
that.
Thomas, though. You had it right.
All right, cool.
Your intuition was correct.
Let us end the show the way we normally do. So for Tom Boger, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!
The Cooligans!
Timing on point.